The Word already existed.
The Word was with God, and the Word was God.
He existed in the beginning with God.
God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him.
The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone.
The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it.
God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony.
John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light.
The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world.
He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him.
He came to his own people, and even they rejected him.
But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God.
They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God.
So the Word became flesh and made his home among us.
He was full of unfailing love and truth, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. The Word of God for the people of God.
Lord, we are listening. Thank you. Very nice. Advent season, a wonderful time of year. Wonderful time to preach. I so enjoy preaching during this season. It's such a beautiful, open, positive season of the year. And I just love to preach during this season. It's the best message and the greatest story ever told to humankind, how God became man. And God wanted to be with us. So I've preached a lot of good sermons during this series, during this time of year, in my 32 plus years. And I've preached a lot of stinkers as well. There's no doubt. You know, I got to tell you, I was going through some stuff in the bedroom the other day, and I looked underneath the bed, and I found two baskets under the bed. One basket had 3 eggs in it. The other basket had $50 in it. Nice. And I thought, this is weird. So I went to Heather and I said, what are these two baskets about? And she said, well, the first basket with the eggs in it, whenever you preach a kind of a stinky sermon, I put an egg in it. And I thought, you know, that's not bad. 3 eggs in 32 years. And so I said, well, what's the other one for? I mean, you got $50 sitting in here. She said, well, when I get a dozen of those, I sell them for a dollar. So kind of saving some money up. So, yeah, I mean, they're not always, you know, great sermons. But I do love to preach. I do love to preach at this time of year. And really, many of you, I'm sure, noticed that what we read at the beginning of the service and what was just read now is the same passage. You probably said, well, that's weird. It is. But what Rebecca read was in the New Living Translation. And I thought you'd want to hear that. Because, you know, the New Living Translation kind of speaks the way we speak. It uses verbal tones and, you know, communicates in a way that we understand. So I wanted to make sure that you heard that as well. But today, we are going to talk about the central theme of John chapter 1, one of my favorite passages of Scripture. There's a few things we need to discuss about it, and it's pretty straightforward and pretty simple. The first thing is, we realize from John chapter 1 that Advent is about preparation. It's about preparation. It says that Jesus came into a world that didn't even know him. He made the world, And Colossians tells us that. And throughout the scriptures, it talks about the fact that Jesus Christ was there at creation, that he had a hand in creation. We don't talk about that much, but it's a very important theological point. A lot of times we think about God the Father creating all things. But the fact is, and the scripture does say it, and John chapter 1 is one of those areas, one of those scriptures, that Jesus himself had a hand in creation. He was there. He was present. It's an awesome thought. And John said, even though the world was created by him, the world did not recognize him. They were preparing for another kind of Messiah. They were preparing for a Messiah that was supposed to be born to a royal family or born with some kind of prestige. They were expecting, the Jewish folks at that time were expecting some kind of a grand entrance of the Messiah, and that this Messiah would come and grow up and become a great military leader and a great king and kick the old Romans out of there and it would be a different world. But you see, they were preparing for that kind of Messiah when in reality, their preparation was not really what God had in mind. And Jesus, the little baby, born in a stable, was the Savior of the world. They didn't expect that. They weren't ready for the change that Jesus was going to bring. Preparation is like that, isn't it? Sometimes you prepare for things and things don't always work out the way you think they're going to. I remember a Thanksgiving not too long ago. Well, it actually might have been a while ago. About 19 years ago, we had just moved into the area. I was pastor of the church down in Coriopolis, Nazarene Church. You forgive me for that, right? Yeah. Anyhow, I was pastor of Nazarene Church down there in Coriopolis. And it was kind of neat. We decided that year that it was our first Thanksgiving, that we were going to have both my family and Heather's whole family, all of both of our families, coming together to our place for Thanksgiving. 20-some people, beautiful. We're all happy. Everybody's rejoicing. Heather gets up early in the morning, turns on the old oven, gets that turkey, had it all prepared, put it in there, and ready to go. And, that was like 6 o'clock in the morning, and we're waiting, and we're waiting, and we can smell it cooking, but we're waiting, and we're waiting. The oven, half the oven died. Thanksgiving Day. It was horrible. Lori was there. She knows. She remembers full well. Half-cooked turkey. My brother-in-law, wonderful guy. He says, I know what to do. So he pulled out what was somewhat cooked and carved it and put it into the toaster oven and then passed it out to people who wanted some. And of course, my family, they're just so wonderful. They ate somewhere else. They went to your house, didn't they? You wait on the way home, yeah. We weren't even invited. And they went, that's my family for you. Oh, that Ron messed up again. So, no. See, things don't always work out. You prepare for things in your life, but oftentimes what you get in the final analysis isn't always what you expect. But Advent is about preparing your heart and your life for what God is going to do for you. It may be very different than what you expect. Very different. Secondly, Advent is about acknowledging that we will never have to be alone again. Because Jesus came. He was God in the flesh. You see, God was afraid that we were alone without God in the world. And he sent his son as a living sacrifice for us, that he would live the perfect life, die on Calvary, rise again the third day, send his Holy Spirit to live with us so that we never have to be alone again. Being alone is a terrible, terrible thing. It's an awful thing. You know, I think about my sister-in-law even now. It's been, this will be 11 years at Christmas, on Christmas Day, that she's been by herself. Very hard. Very difficult to be alone. But I can tell you, and this is just not somebody's theological dream or some ontological understanding of Heil's Geschichte. You don't know what Heil's Geschichte is, do you? It's the plan of salvation. That's the German terminology, Heil's Geschichte. So if you want to impress somebody, say, hey, I know what Heil's Geschichte is. Do you know what that is? But the plan of salvation, you see, God coming to be with us. I'm here to tell you, it's more than just an idea. When God says, lo, I am with you always, to the very end of the age, guess what? How long is the Lord going to be with us? Always. Do you know what always means in the Greek? It means always. God will be with you always. Some folks are going through Thanksgiving and Christmas alone for the first time. And I remember going, as a hospice chaplain, going to these people, whether they were patients who were in the hospital or patients who were in a nursing facility or whatever it was, and they would say, you know, I'm afraid that when I pass, my husband or my wife or my children are going to be alone. And I would look at them and say with full certainty, they're never alone. That's what Christmas means. We never have to be alone. Third, Advent is about remembering who Jesus is. Verse 14 said it, right? That the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And John says, I've seen Him. What I'm writing to you is, what I'm about to write to you in this letter is everything that I saw Jesus do with my own peepers, my own eyes. I saw all this stuff. God became flesh and dwelt among us. And He was full of grace and truth. The New Living Translation, I love that. He was full of unfailing love and truth. Isn't that cool? Because that's really what grace is. Unfailing love. You can't disappoint God. First off, He knows you. You might disappoint yourself. You might disappoint a lot of people. You might disappoint a lot of friends. But you will never, ever disappoint God to the place where He says, all right, that's it. Can't take no more. Never. 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 My grandchildren, we were at the house Thanksgiving night quite late. Children, when they're up beyond their bedtime, let the whining begin. And when they went to bed at 9:30 or something, 10 o'clock, I was like, good night, children. I love you. Pop loves you. Go to bed! Oh, it was great. So we have enough of each other sometimes. But He'll never have enough of you. He'll always love you. Unfailing love. You can disappoint Him or think you're disappointing Him. You can mess around and think you're falling short, which you really are, of what you think you ought to be, but you'll never lose His love. That's what grace is about. And Jesus was full of grace and truth. Fourth, Advent is about our responsibility. And our responsibility is to be like Jesus. And what was Jesus like? He was full of grace and truth. So, if the incarnate Jesus becomes a part of you, His goal and His purpose in your life is very simple. The Holy Spirit's goal, God in your life, is to make you just like His Son. That's it. It's not complicated. Not a whole bunch of rules. Follow these rules and you'll be all set. It's not a doctrine that you have to follow, a particular doctrine. You better follow this doctrine or you'll be wrong. Christianity comes down to simply this. God in Jesus Christ coming down as a little baby, lived a perfect life, died on Calvary, rose again the third day, sent His Spirit to live within us so that the recreation of Jesus can be established in you and in me. That's pretty cool. So our responsibility is to be like Him. I think we ought to bring back, remember those WWJD hickey things? We ought to bring them back. Wouldn't that be cool? What would Jesus do? Really is that simple, gang. Oh man, I wish I had some deep theological truth I could pull from that, but it doesn't get more simple than that, gang. It really doesn't. Doesn't get any more simple than that. That's what Advent's about. God becoming real in your life and in mine. Father, we do thank You for the truth of Advent. We thank You for what it means. We thank You for how, Lord, You live Your life in us and recreate Yourself in us every day. Help us, Lord, to be responsive, to not demand our own way, but every morning to simply say, Jesus, come alive in me. And Lord, by doing so, make me full of grace, unfailing love to others, and truth. Help me to live that way, Lord. And I might fall short a lot. I do, at least in my eyes. But Father, help that to be the sole purpose of our living day to day, to just be like You. We'll praise You, Father, for all You do, and we pray these things together in the name of Jesus, our Savior. All the people of God said, Amen.